Welcome to Book Pile Banter. This is Amberly with Sarah and Kim. And today we are going to discuss Ascension. Ascension, which is by Nicholas Binge and was published in 2023 via Riverhead Books. Per his website, he's a best-selling author of speculative thrillers, literary, science fiction, and horror. His work has been featured in the New York Times, the Sunday Times, the Wall Street Journal, the FT, Entertainment Weekly, the Washington Post, and more. The plot for Ascension is when a mysterious mountain appears in the Pacific, a group of scientists are tasked with figuring out why it is there and instead end up reflecting upon their own flaws. So, first and foremost, was this a soft science fiction to either of you?
No, this
no.
was definitely more of an attempt at hard sci-fi.
It was.
Okay.
Attempt being the
operative word.
Yeah. No, I agree. It did not feel very soft science fiction for me. I feel like the only reason it might have popped as a soft science fiction is because, surprise, the alien whatever at the end was the anthropologist the entire time, and the anthropology falls under soft science fiction. That's the best I can come up with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
valid a reason as any.
In some ways, an exploration of the main character's like psychological
mental
mess.
Yeah.
But even then, it's like,
not well done.
Yeah.
No.
Like, full stop, not well done. So, for anyone wondering, not one of us particularly liked this book.
No one's going to be playing defense here.
No.
No. Okay.
Happened before.
No. I think maybe once or twice all three of us have not liked a book. Amber usually comes to the defense.
I'm not coming to the defense to this one.
She's not going
to
do that with this one. She hated this one
from
the minute it started.
Oh, man. Okay. So let's start with the plot.
What plot?
Agree. Okay. So I'm like trying to think about how to even like discuss or break down the plot into discussion. So I was devastated in the sense that this starts like one of my favorite ways to start books, which is a story within a story, but I hated the execution of this story within the story. We already knew the outcome from the beginning of it. We were told what the relationship is between who the letters are written to and the person, which just made the entire thing weird.
Yeah. Well, it would have been even weirder had we gotten to the end and not known who he had been writing to the entire time.
But like, it's just like, it was a poorly done execution. It instantly left me with a
more of mechanics, though.
I'm talking about the plot element it's being used at. In terms of plot, I did not like it. It gave me nothing to wonder about in terms of how is this truly going to end.
Well,
and it set up every mystery that was supposed to be there about the main character. It's like, well, it doesn't matter. We all know he dies and goes crazy. And like, clearly he's not writing to any of these other people, so they're not as important. So yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, my question is on all of this, haven't we done this a lot before? I mean, when you're writing speculative, if you're writing speculative fiction, it should be speculative, not a rehashing of explaining Einstein's relativity to us again and not doing it well.
Mr. Hyde method.
Writing letters things, it wasn't, other than the fact that he addressed the start of each chapter, they weren't written out like actual letters.
No.
Like, I was expecting something that was to be more epistolary, and this was just like letter writing, but like, who the fuck has that much time to write with frozen fingers? Like, you're being so descriptive. And oh my gosh, hey, I'm writing you this 3-page note before I run out after all these people who are screaming, like, oh no, what's going on there? But I'm just going
to
write this
down. Let me write this down for you really quick. And let me describe in detail to my niece all of my personal relationships with people.
Like, also, I almost skipped forward. I just want to mention that I was like, I was skipping through it and I was like, this is awfully long. Is this actually important? So, like, if I hadn't read the forward, I would have been just even more confused. But, like, I don't know if it was even referenced that he and his niece were at all close at the start. Yes. So I was like, why does he keep writing her all these letters?
Because the whoever starts the story off for us is like, he was his brother, I think, is Ben. Who it was. He was, yeah, isolated and alone. And the only one in the family that he ever seemed to relate to or have any compassion for is his niece. Told that straight up. The reason why the letters are written to her is because in terms of family members, she was the only one he cared about. And like, how do you care about someone and think, I'm going to tell them about this existential crisis I had that is why I am dead now? Why?
Yeah.
No, don't.
Yeah, the whole, yeah, I didn't like the, well, again, that's mechanics, though, trying to dress it up as letters, but the plot itself, like, I mean, movie-wise, I've seen this in movies, like Annihilation, not the book, because I don't remember the book as clearly, but, like, this is Annihilation, she's dealing with her missing husband, the grief over that. They wander off into an area where it's very hostile. They start to lose their minds, but it's done much better.
Annihilation, this. The movie, I've not read the book, but the movie was quite good. Confusing as fuck, like all of these stories are. It's just like, whatever, okay, we're wandering around and we don't know what's going on. And maybe we should stop wandering at some point because things aren't ending well. Everyone's dying. Maybe, you know, a little self-preservation should bring us back to, in the case of Annihilation. Oh, whatever. Something's drawing us forward.
I hated that. When it was like, don't you feel the mountain drawing you upwards? I'm like, oh, fuck me. Really?
It's like, it's going to be a
piece of scientists
jutting up into the sky. Why didn't your satellites just take pictures of it? Like, Jesus fucking Christ, man.
Yeah.
No, yeah, the best way to do this is to explore it physically in the slowest way possible.
And why would we not send drones up? Or, like, you know,
it was the 90s, 80s.
Yeah.
But still,
I don't know.
We had I was saying drones in the general sense of something else to go explore it. We had robotic systems that could go and film and all of that stuff. Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It yeah.
We landed on
I can't even reason.
60s.
Yeah. We landed on the moon. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, the air currents were just too hard for that helicopter, so obviously anything else would be just
I mean, to be fair, there are mountains that they can't actually get.
Yeah, but they were lower than this one.
I know.
Don't even get me started on that.
I know,
helicopters
but, like,
can only fly so high because they have to have actual. Yeah, I can't
know,
even.
But that's
you
like,
guys made me talk tonight, and I can't talk. So
I know. I was just saying, like, the reasoning behind it is probably that, valid or not. It's you know, you couldn't get a helicopter to the top of Mount Everest, so like, I just use that same premise here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
anyway, plot. Okay. There was no plot. They went to a mountain, they climbed a mountain. He thought about his past. Knew what the whatever. There were no aliens. That was his imagination.
I don't know.
Or there were aliens and they were really there. I don't know.
All I know is the anthropologist was either him losing his mind or an alien. And I don't think either one is great. I just thought it was stupid. I mean, to be fair, by that point I was listening it to triple speed without even looking at it because I just wanted it done. So
I know, and it's like, it's 2024 and we still have these really stupid books coming out or concepts where it's like, I expect this in the early 2000s
but because I feel like it was more popular back then, but this whole sense of like, it could still be popular. I'm not going to lie. I don't really trawl those in corners of the internet, but like this idea that human evolution is like directed by some alien presence or divine presence, or not even evolution at all, like the movie Prometheus, where there's the engineers who just seeded the planet and that's where humans came from and that's why we're so special. Like, ah, so disgusted by that turn.
That so far we have had two episodes on soft science fiction, and we had at one point have essentially gone the ancient aliens discussion route now.
I know.
Like, come on. I mean, at least I will say this, at least with fledgling, like,
oh, can I just say something?
Yeah.
This book does retroactively make me appreciate fledgling more.
Good. I was going to say, I mean, at least with fledgling, the ancient alien kind of line.
Honestly, though, I didn't really think they were even saying that that was the case. They're just saying, oh, this is something that some of our people believe. Who knows?
Yeah.
And it's not taken seriously. And certainly no magical alien being shows up at the end to offer Shori a little glowing blue pill that will move her to the next stage of evolution. As we all know, biology works.
Christ. Yeah.
Although I guess Shori was genetically altered, but that was through scientific processes that go on before the book starts, that they were researching for many years, not some alien
mystical
presence
alien
that is supposed to be mystical, but yet has all the mechanisms of a human. Like, not even trying to seem other there, just like, if he had opened up the conversation with like, yo, what's up? Like, I would have been like, yep, that's fitting what they're writing.
That makes sense. Yep, that's where we're at.
I was like, okay, this is such a shitty turn.
So, any other thoughts on plot, or we feel like pretty solidly? Do we want to move on to the next portion of this? Okay.
But we have to rate it.
I was about to do that.
Okay, that's what you meant by the next component of this.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
I misunderstood what you said.
Sarah, what do you rate the plot for Ascension?
You know, it didn't hurt me, but at the same time, a 3 seems generous. So, I mean, it could have gotten worse. It would have been hard, but it could have been worse. So I will give it a 2.
Okay. Kim?
I'm going to have to go along the lines of it didn't hurt me, so I can't give it a 2.
I mean, but it didn't
I'm
hurt
with
me,
you,
but it did annoy me deeply.
But I'm with you in that 3 is too generous, so I'm going to go 2.5.
Oh,
I give it a 1.
It hurt, Amber. It did.
Listen, I was going along going, this is boring. Well, okay.
You rated it a 1 on Goodreads, and you don't even do that unless you don't finish the book. I was like, oh,
right?
Finish, like breaking your own rules. Again, I even have them. Again.
The exceptions. You make rules for exceptions. To be clear, part of this horrific process is I borrowed it from one of the libraries, and I was listening to it on Palace Project, which is not the greatest digital platform. Like, full stop, I warn people when they go towards Palace Project, like, this is clunky. This is clunky as shit. And fun fact with Palace Project, if you start a chapter and you put it on double speed, it will play the chapter at double speed. When you then get to the halfway point of the time on double speed, it goes quiet. So I
and you have to finish listening to it at regular speed.
Yeah,
finish
I
off
either,
in time.
I either had to listen to silence if I was going to attempt to listen to it in the car, listen to them talk like this, or I could only listen to it somewhere where I could then jump it to the next chapter. So it was an absolute struggle for me for a reader to want to turn to this book and have to invest that much energy in listening to a book. It drove me nuts. And then when I listened to it at triple speed, I was like, I'm not missing anything. And then I thought, are they going to say this mountain is like Mount Olympus or something? And then they go, this is the mountain that's been showing up randomly throughout history that people equate to the gods. And I went, fuck me. Fuck me. And that is when it hurt me. That is when I was done. It's like, you took everything and you put it in the pot, stirred it up, and then went, aren't I brilliant? No. No.
You know, I don't even know that he really stirred it up. It's more like he just copied and pasted in a line on.
And he did like to hit all of the tropes, all of, not even, I don't even want to say tropes, because it was like, you know, like we said, ancient aliens, ancient Greek, Cthulhu. I mean, it was just like, good God. I can't remember who the writer is of Cthulhu, which, you know, whatever, I should remember.
The aloof Russian female scientist.
No. What's that?
Lovecraft.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. I mean, he was hitting them all.
Those two mixed up.
We, you know, we had the, you know, all-knowing aloof Russian scientist.
Yeah.
We had, like, and then we, you know, we had the military guys in there, you know, being mysterious and not telling us anything. Yes.
We had Neil, the anthropologist, being really shady every time he observed him, but didn't actually spend any time on that. So, like, you know, readers could immediately clock him as being the obvious
different plant,
but this
anyway, let's talk about characters.
Oh, that's right.
Main character, which is Harold. I don't even remember his name at this point. Is it Harold?
Good job.
Okay, yes. Thank you. My biggest gripe with Harold is he is essentially neurodivergent, autistic, coded at the very beginning. And then we spend the rest of the book learning about all the ways he was just essentially a human being. And we're just going to negate his inability to communicate, interact, and handle, because obviously the distant ex-wife cured him in his discomfort of interacting with people. Hated that. Hated it so much.
I didn't really get the sense that the author was saying the wife cured him of that, but rather that the author just didn't know how to write that character from, you know, the first person perspective. Either that or Ben had no idea who his brother was and was just like, oh no, you never talked to me. And then you find out that Harold, this completely different person when you see him interacting, is just regular dude.
I don't know. It pissed me off.
I couldn't stand how narcissistic the main character was. Oh, it was God, everything so, so fucking about him.
Everything and, was about
and,
him.
And I'm the doctor. I'm there to heal the world. But I, you know, I let my son drown because I don't have enough brains to think. You don't leave a child that's just learned to swim like literally 5 seconds before alone in water. I don't care if it's a tablespoon. You just don't do it. But no, he's, he was.
I didn't like him.
Unpleasant character. Yeah, unpleasant character. And not in a good way. Yeah.
Just the whole mountain. It was just his punishment, obviously, and not like just a crisis for everyone that they should be navigating. It was just like, hubris.
Explain to me, because this is where I got all tripped up in the very beginning of this and couldn't engage after it. So if this thing is jumping through time, this mountain is jumping through time and only appearing, you know, I never engaged in if this is just time displacement or if it's supposed to be multiverse, whatever. I don't care. If a mountain appeared suddenly in the middle of the ocean, there would be displacement of water.
Oh no, it's a magical black hole, and the water just
seriously, imagine. Well, I guess all the folds led back to the mountain, but I was like, if there was a fold under the water, like all of the water would just be continuously.
That's how the world ends. The magic mountain slowly sucking the water and hydration out of the world.
We're supposed to be a scientific type of book. You've got to take your most basic shit and you've got to address it. Yeah. And having a mountain appear in the middle of the ocean would have to be addressed.
Again, though,
or possibly. I know. Yes, it is. I don't know. Whatever.
Just a second. Okay.
Anyway, sorry, so, I went off on the non-main character diatribe.
It's fine. All right. So, do we have any other thoughts on the main character, or we just didn't like him?
He was a world-renowned physicist, right? And
a doctor.
He was an idiot. Yeah. Well, obviously, if you've got one doctorate, you can do anything. Yeah. Really, like, haven't you ever watched TV?
Yeah.
That really, really confused me, I will be honest, because I was like, wait, physics? But he's like a people doctor? But like, how?
Well, you know, if he was autistic coded, then obviously he would just be skilled in all of those things, naturally.
Yeah. And I'm sure he just studied, and did nothing else but study. Oh, and you know, work as a doctor, because, you know, he was
until he couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Ugh. Any other thoughts?
No.
Okay. Kim, what do you rate main character?
Four.
Thera.
I'm in the same dilemma that I was before, but I think the plot annoyed me significantly more than the character, so I'm going to give him a 2.5.
Okay. I have to decide, did this piss me off more than negative space or less than negative space? Less. But it's still working at somewhere above a 0.5. I guess I'll give the main character a 2. It was the least harmful thing. Okay. Secondary characters. I have a rant. I will withhold my rant until you guys give me permission to rant.
Go for it. I don't even remember any of the secondary characters.
I mean,
the fucking use of women. Like, what the hell? You wrote this in 2023 and you thought, oh, I'll give him a Japanese wife and she'll be happy to give up her career as a doctor to be a stay-at-home mom. And the only reason why I made her Japanese is so that I can throw in this, like, Japanese philosophy in order to make my book sound even more worldly. Oh, and she's there at camp with him, but like they only interact twice because she's avoiding him, and that's acceptable. She's a plot device, nothing else. The other women, oh, the scientist, she's there to remind him to be humble, and that's it. Oh, and this entire thing is written towards his niece, another woman, one of four. We know nothing about her. Nothing. She does not talk about her.
She has curly blonde hair. We know that.
That is a physical description. That is nothing about her. Oh, and the fourth woman in this entire thing, who's supposed to be, like, magically in charge of this, the key detail that we need to be told about her is she is the ex-wife of the warden. And that's why they don't get along. Full stop. That's all the women matter for. Pissed me off so much. Either don't have women, or write depth to your female characters. And your
none
racial,
of the other male characters, really characters.
I was
going to
say, none of the characters had any
depth.
Well,
I know.
So, I mean, I didn't care about the book at all. I didn't come across going, oh my God, this is a male writer writing crappy female characters. It just came across as crappy writing. Not even the main character had depth, because one of the things about being narcissistic is you're very, it's like you're sliding across glass. You don't want depth, because if you have depth, then you might have to engage in your own feelings, somebody else's feelings, instead of just your wants and needs. And that's all this character was. He just, what he wanted, what he needed, and that was it. There was no depth to any character.
It just, the women pissed me off. It physically hurt me. It frustrated me, particularly given how recently it was published. Like, come on. Now, if this had been published in the 90s, okay, fine. You're falling into the typical tropes of your time frame, whatever. But this was written like a 90s blockbuster movie done poorly. Full stop. It's like, I hated the secondary characters. I didn't care about one of them. I didn't care when they died. I didn't care when they got introduced. I didn't care. Sarah.
What about you, Sarah? What did you think of the secondary characters?
Like I said, they weren't fleshed out at all. Like, none of them were in any way decent characters. So no, I didn't really care one way or another how the women were treated as opposed to the men, because they were basically the same. They were all just fodder to be cast aside for this main character's journey to, I don't know, coming to terms with the fact that he killed his son. But like, even that you couldn't care about, because like, I don't know. It just was like, there was no emotional depth to any of these characters or anything, so.
Yeah. Fair. Any other thoughts on secondary characters?
Nope.
Nope.
Alrighty. Sarah, what do you rate secondary characters?
Technically better than the first guy, because they
had nothing to lose.
Whole time in their heads. So I'll just give them a nice 3.
Okay. Kim?
2.
I give them a whole whopping 0.
Surprised.
Okay. Listen, I have feelings, and I'm not going to pretend like my feelings aren't there. Next is plausibility. Okay, Kim, this is your time.
No, it's not my time. I hate this subject. There's nothing plausible about this story in any way, shape, okay, or fucking form.
That's why I was saying it was your time.
Yeah, the water displacement. Now you can really get into it.
Oh, the water displacement. No, because then that's
tidal waves everywhere. Or, you know, the surrounding country.
I can't.
Did it say what ocean it was in?
Pacific.
Oh, okay.
It just took out all of California.
It just said it was in the Pacific Ocean. The Pacific Ocean is massive. But
I was meaning, when the water got displaced, just tsunamis.
Yeah, it's like
taking out
to go somewhere.
California.
Eventually it'll hit those countries.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't. I already talked about it. I can't even formulate. I just keep picturing the people on TikTok freaking out a couple of weeks ago or months ago. It was in December when a large wave hit Ventura, and everyone was talking about it being a fucking tsunami. So like, that's not how tsunamis work. That is absolutely unequivocally not a tsunami. It's just a large wave. We get them every year, just unequivocally. Every year we get large waves in December. It just happens.
They just happened to be this time. People were extra stupid as to how close.
And we're
at
the beach. Yeah. And they ran, and they didn't run faster than the wave.
That's enough.
Go figure.
Shocking.
I mean, I don't know how we survived it as a species. To
the buildings and was going down the street.
Yeah. But it was still just a wave. It was not a tsunami.
Yeah, but it's like, when you say they were on the beach and they were being stupid, it's like, well, they were also on a sidewalk.
No, that spot where they were at is a that happens regularly there. They warn not to be in that area.
Yeah, they say not to be there. Because the waves come up the street.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I just thought it was a random like neighborhood near the beach.
It is a random neighborhood near the beach. It's
on the beach,
and they tell you not to stand there. I mean, there's a reason why the fire truck was there. Yeah. But anyway, we're off on a tangent because I can't. People's lack of understanding. It's just like this writer writing about these different things and writing about putting a mountain in the middle of the ocean that appears. At times, if you're not going to think about the entire concept of what you're developing in your story and what the implications are, you're not engaging enough in what you're writing.
Don't make it science fiction.
Yeah, don't make it science fiction. That's a good thing to go with. But yeah, so I'm tripping up on it. I can't even. But I engaged in this story so little that it's.
So the other thing that drove me nuts when it came to the plausibility was the whole, time's different on the mountain. You know, like how we theoretically think black holes work.
Oh, I think we're losing Sarah, if you want to pause.
I had been talking about the black hole analogy.
Okay.
Yeah. You remember what else I wanted? Time slowing down. Yeah. Oh. I'm not sure how plausible I found that to be, particularly because, like, how is it just strong enough to only affect the mountain and not the rest of the people on the planet? I feel like if time was getting disrupted to that, like, level of disruption, that it would start to affect the entire planet.
Well, he had his bullshit reason of that it's extremely localized, and you do have to be pretty close to the source of gravity to really notice an effect. But that level of an effect, damn it, it froze.
We can still hear you.
Still here.
Well, shit.
How are you doing, Sarah?
Is not working.
Okay, Sarah, talk about time dilation. Implausibility.
I don't know if you heard any of it that I had started talking about before it froze on me last time.
Start at the beginning then.
I don't fucking remember what I was saying.
Okay.
Start from the beginning.
Shit. Now I have to even figure out where that train of thought begins. Did you say anything about it previously? Or did you just mention that? Oh, that it should have affected the rest of the world, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And then I was saying that the author was claiming it was extremely localized because, like, a matter of feet. They walk 10 feet away and some guy is, like, 12 seconds behind the other guy, which is just an incredible difference. It doesn't sound like it, but, you know, it's like time dilation is usually nanoseconds, not complete seconds.
No.
So, like, that would imply a tremendous amount of gravitational, like, or mass, right? And there should be a lot of gravity. So wherever that fold is, whoever is 12 seconds slower should be getting sucked into that gravity well, because they are already way too close. And then they wouldn't be able to leave the fold because the gravitational pull would keep them there. Like, you can't just, especially if it was in any way comparable to a black hole, it's like you don't leave it once you have crossed that event horizon. That is where you will stay or die, really. But
unless you have a magic blue pill.
God. Oh, God. Yeah.
Then you're just the Matrix.
And then the thing is, like, okay, so he understood some things, like the closer you are to the gravitational source, the slower time goes for you. But, like, He also used that to explain why it felt like they had been there for weeks when it had only been days, which is like the opposite. Like, the people who are under the effects of time dilation, time would pass normally for them. It's the outside observer that would notice the change. And so, and also Jet, who we didn't even talk about at all because whatever, right? But I was like, oh, a redheaded character. This one will probably be my favorite. And then he started talking and I was like, no. This guy is, for one, going to get wasted right away. So there's no point in getting attached, but also just no. But like Jet, he's like, oh, I've been in the mountain for months. And the physicist is like, you've been gone for 6 hours or something. And it's like opposite. He would go into the mountain. If he was under time dilation, he would come back out feeling like he'd been in there for 5 minutes, but had been in there for 12, but it had actually been 12 weeks or whatever. Like, so, and the fact that he did that multiple times, I was just like, buddy, you don't even have to be a physicist. Like, you would learn that in introductory physics if you went to any physics class in college. But also, if you just fucking watched the movie Interstellar, which it seems like you ripped a bunch of shit off of, you would understand that you're doing it wrong. Like, come on. I just...
Maybe he went, ooh, I want to do reverse Interstellar. I'll just use the same science, but reverse it.
I'll make it work that way, but okay.
I know. It's just I'm trying to reason out why we ended up in this weird, non-plausible situation that like doesn't have even the plausibility of being fantasy magic. Like,
yeah,
it's just like,
and like it's like too weak to be hard science fiction, but not the correct focus. Well,
it's hard science fiction, but it's just wrong. It's like
that's why I said it's.
And there was a dude, Tim something in the acknowledgments, who said, thanks for fixing my bad science. And I was like, well, he didn't fix all of it. He should have taken another pass at it because some of the major components are just reversed, not right. Or maybe he was just like, yeah, buddy. Seems like it's probably fine. He's like, oh my God, this is a mess that I can't fix. Yeah, that's why he just didn't bother.
I just think it's a testament to the fact that people don't really understand these concepts. They think they do. And they think, you know, someone like this writer thinks he's explaining it in a unique way that will help people understand it. But no, he's just making shit up as he goes.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing too. Like, I was confused because maybe since they are on the mountain and therefore, in theory, experiencing some form of time dilation, even though it only seems to really happen when they're close to the folds. But let's just say it's happening when they're on the mountain. Like, they would notice. They would notice because the rest of the planet is not affected. So, like, the sun, the days would be much shorter. The nights would be shorter. They would be camping a lot more. Like, they would run out of supplies much faster. Because they can see the sun. You can see the very far away sun, so you would be able to tell that some shit was going on. And so that's why I was like, maybe that's what he means when they thought it was months. But then, like, he didn't go into the details of how that would affect the actual expedition. So I don't actually think he did think about that. It was dumb. I love
how much this triggered you. It's not often that something like creates a rantable moment for Sarah. So everyone bask in that. That was great. Thank you, because you articulated it much better than I ever could have, beyond being like, this is dumb. I don't understand it, but even I know it's dumb.
Yep.
Alrighty. So what do we want to rate?
No, sorry. I want to point out something else. You know what's weird is that the geologist, whoever that was, Thomas, I think, was the geologist. I couldn't remember their names usually, except, I don't know, Harold for some reason, even though you'd see it like once I remembered his name.
It was such a pretentious name. I apologize for Harold, but like most pretentious British name to come up with, be like, yeah, he was Harold. And he wasn't doctorate.
Sir, though, like, he could have been, like, knighted.
No, but he was Dr. Really... Harold.
Said Dr. Harold.
Harold. Anyways, go ahead and go with your other.
I mean, it's not going to be a ranch or anything, but it is something that I didn't quite understand what he was trying to explain. The geologist was like, this mountain has rock types, three different rock types from around the world. So are you saying that the mountain grew each time it teleported to a different location because it's three layers? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. How yeah, he was trying to claim that it changed each time, like a layer of it, which implies that the Earth had some impact on this mountain. But the mountain didn't have impact on the Earth.
And it's just a tesseract. It's not, it's like not even a physical normal object. So how would it be?
Yeah. I don't know. I was so mad at like, that was the moment where I was like, it's going to be fucking Mount Olympus. And whatever else has ever had mystical beings on a special mountain.
Yeah.
It's this mountain. And I was just like, no.
And don't forget that the angels and the deities are just interdimensional creatures.
Yeah.
Who, again, can take human form and really just, even though they're kind of weird, they still pretty much have all normal human mannerisms and comportment. Yeah. You know, it's just...
Well, it's been long enough. They've absorbed the human traits. They lost all of the weird eyes and the multiple wings and, you know, what have you. They're just human now. They absorbed that, much like the mountain. I don't know.
It was too much like the mountain.
All right. Yes. All right. So if it was not clear, my plausibility on this one is one. It hurt me. Sarah.
I mean, it certainly defended me. So I would give it a one.
Okay, Kim.
One.
Ah! Okay, next. Ending.
That sure ended. Yep.
Thank God.
It ended, and I did not care beyond the fact that it stopped talking in my ear.
It's so stupid. And so predictable. But
particularly
too.
Because... I'm like, yeah. Whether or not he gets off this mountain, we know he gets off the mountain because of the beginning. The letters weren't like magically found, you know, randomly somewhere. And the questionability of did he make it or did he not make it? How did the letters? No, he found him. You started with this, where did he go? And then you're like, oh, he's at this weird psychiatric ward. He now dies and I have his letters, so let me tell you his story. Like, come on.
In his incredibly detailed letters.
Oh,
that were written out like a story for some reason.
It's like, I don't care. You gave away what might have driven my interest in this is where did this brother go? How did you end up with the letters?
Mm-hmm.
That might have kept me interested in guessing, but instead, no, you gave us the ending, so I don't care.
I mean, at that point, too, it was just like, it was just shit. It was just shit writing. Like, we even got the really stupid, like, when the aliens showed up, the tentacle monsters, I was already like,
yeah.
Because I was interested in it at the start to find out what was going on with this weird mountain. But then the aliens with the tentacles showed up. And I was like, although I don't know if the time dilation had really started bugging me at that point yet or not. But the aliens,
probably.
Like, this is fucking stupid. Because whenever people make aliens, they're either humans or they're just tentacle creatures. So good going. You really nailed it with that one. Just your weird tentacle monsters. Like, cool. Make them crabs. Crabs are much more likely, evolutionarily speaking. But whatever. Not important.
But octopuses are smarter.
Well, these things were fucking stupid, so who cares?
I know. I just, like, I'm nearly positive the reason why most aliens are tentacled are just because...
More like everyone octopuses, thinks that where they could, like... They could camouflage and they could creep into like little spaces.
That would have been more interesting. But I mean, but they were.
They're just potatoes talking about, like, with appendages.
Their suction and like it sucked through there as opposed to like having a proper mouth. It's like, Kreta, like, just take the cool stuff out of the fucking octopus. The little beak. Like, talk about horrifying. If it's been like an void, octopus,
like a giant
and it's like
mouth
aliens like pulling you in and this beak is going. Like, come on.
No. Like I said, something. They were just fleshy, blue-blooded potatoes with some writing on their tentacles for some reason. How did they get that writing there? Do they even have, I don't think they have fingers. Do they just use their
little... They must have been summoned.
Sharp points and like...
The human version aliens just wrote on them to summon them onto the mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think we lost so Kim.
Stupid.
Oh, I am totally gone. Yeah. I okay. Do not give two shits about the story.
Then Kim, rate the ending.
0.
Nice. Sarah.
No, I'd give it a 1.
I'd give it a 1 as well. All right, next is mechanics.
Okay, well, we kind of already covered this, but it was terrible.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there anything else mechanic-wise? I mean...
I still feel bamboozled because I thought it was going to be like compiled letters or whatever. And they were technically compiled letters, but they were all very sequential and way
and
too...
And then and they would flash back in the letters. I was like, what the fuck? We are in a flashback, in a flashback, in a flashback. What the hell?
Pardon me, Harriet, while I now discuss some things that happened 20 years ago so you get some context for this next thing that I will be writing.
Which, by the way, this is my brother telling you about my old letter. Like, it's literally, like, we start with the brother post-death. We flash back to, like, just because, like, the brother's talking after having discovered the letters. Like, it's not even, like, the forward is after the letters have been read. So, like, we start with the brother warning us about the letters. Then we're in the letters. And then in the letters, we're flashing back. And I am nearly positive occasionally in those flashbacks, we then flashed further back. Because when he would talk about his ex-wife, he would also then talk about, like, when they met. Or reference back to what they used to be like before the child.
Yeah, I don't know exactly, but it was all definitely not written in the proper letter format. So that was one of the things that I wanted, why I wanted to read this book, other than the fact that it was like, ooh, Mystery Mountain. I didn't realize I was just going to be getting the same goddamn storyline that I've gotten before, but much worse.
Well, we did have to wander through, you know, some sort of snowscape in order for it to be a book for you.
Why didn't I see that coming? I don't understand. Everything else was so, well, it was predictable once we started reading, but...
Yeah.
I gotta know, is this so, like, bestsellery?
Celery. The best of the celery. I mean, it is probably better than a lot of celeries because I don't like celery, but...
Is this truly the quality that deserves being titled as best-selling? Or was it just written by a man? Like,
I don't know,
imagine...
There's a lot of other books that are written by men that could have been chosen instead, so...
They could have, Sarah. They could have. You could have chosen other ones.
No, I'm saying, like, these best-selling books, I mean... You know.
I know. That's, like, ooh. I don't know.
I wouldn't have even read this one, except for that TikTok you sent, which had a girl promoting it. So, you know, blame her.
I do. I very much do. How dare you? I don't remember your name. I don't remember how it came across the TikTok.
It's all lies.
It's all lies.
Lies and propaganda.
Or, you know, not enough diversity in people's reading. So, yeah, no, I just like the quality of this was not great. And I'm really confused as to why so many places heralded how great it was. I'm like, all you had to do was like grab 3 different books in the science fiction genre. And I can promise you they had elements of this and was like mashed together. There was nothing innovative about this. Nothing innovative.
No, It was
particularly given the amount of times that I was like, have I read this before?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready to rate predictive or mechanics?
We haven't even gotten to predictability, have we?
No, that's next.
Ooh, oh boy. Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, Sarah, what's your rating on mechanics? Okay. Kim.
One.
I too give it a one.
How many points did I give to Leech? Because I do have to be careful here.
You gave Leech 3.
No, but like overall.
42.
I gave Leech 42 points in total.
No, I gave Leech 42 points. You gave it 23.
Oh, God, I almost had a heart attack. And how many points is on the board right now for Ascension?
2, 5, 7.5, 8.5, 9.5, 10.5. With 1, 2, 3, 4 categories left.
Christ on the cross. I'm going to have to get super generous here.
Or you recognize that this was worse than Leech.
It was not. It was absolutely not worse than Leech. I was annoyed by this book, but I hated Leech. Leech was a miserable read. I would rather get hit by a car, not die, just like injured
by the car. Here you go. 11 points is what you gave Iron Flame. You'll be above 11 points if you give at least one in each of the rest categories. It will not be your worst reading ever.
Apparently, I have to give everything like 10 just to be safe.
Ugh. Rude. And no, you would have to give everything like a 5.
Yeah, no, I said 10 to be safe. I'll definitely exceed Leech if I give him 10s. I don't want to, but you know.
So 1, your mechanics is 1?
I might actually change that to a 2.
I give it a 1. Okay. Predictability.
Fucking predictable. Ooh,
I accidentally put that in my predictability, but that's okay. Yeah, I was going to say, it was so predictable in the worst way that I could not figure out if it was a book I had read yet or not.
Like, once you, like, maybe at the very start, when you don't really know about the mount, or you don't know that he's going to be haunted by his past, it's maybe unclear as to what's going to happen. But once those other elements sink in, which happens pretty fast, it's like, oh, this is obvious. I mean, everyone on the mountain is going to die. And, you know, and then even the ending, it's like the soldier guy's like, well, I'll do it. And like, he's going to like jump off the mountain and kill himself or something, which he didn't jump off the mountain. So, wow. But he did shoot himself. So still predicted that part of it.
Yeah, no, it like was the worst level of predictability. It was, I felt like I had read this all, but it was not iconic enough for me to like definitively know whether or not I had read the book.
Yeah.
So, what about for you, Kim?
Okay, well, I wasn't able to hear like any of the last like 5 minutes of conversation because we were trying to get Ronan to leave the room with Martin and he wouldn't go. Because he doesn't understand that he's supposed to go get brushed. But I think we're talking about predictability and it was it was stupidly predictable. I mean, the big thing that was supposed to be the big reveal was he killed his own son. Which
that
he didn't.
Was obvious from the first time he talked about it.
I know, exactly. Yeah.
The terrible thing that happened in the past. Gosh.
But now I'm not going to acknowledge that my child exists to anybody. Didn't tell his family, didn't tell anybody. But that is the entire premise of his existence, is the fact that he didn't kill him. He didn't murder him. He stepped away when he shouldn't have. He was very negligent. He would have gone to jail for negligent homicide. But he didn't, clearly, because he then went to the mountain.
He's a doctor / physicist. He can't contain his genius needs to chat with the world.
Exactly. No, it was stupid. I hated it. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, anything else about predictability, or do we want to rate it?
Rate it.
We can rate it.
All right, Kim, what do you rate it?
1.
Sarah, what do you rate it?
3.
much hate for Leech. I give it a 1. Okay, next we have readability. This was difficult. Difficult in the boring, bland sense. I just didn't want to. And then plus my previous issues with trying to just get through it. So, yeah. It was not readable to me.
I didn't really pay attention to it. Because I was playing Stardew Valley while I was listening to it at double speed. So I was planting my crops and doing all of that shit instead of paying attention to the book. It was not readable. I should have been wanting to shut it off or to stop with Stardew and stop thinking about Stardew and listening to what was happening in the book. And I was not, it was not pulling me to it in any way, shape, or form. It was, yeah, no.
Anyway, honestly, I would have DNF'd it the first time the child was mentioned because I was like, well, I know how all of this is going to end. But I had to finish it because I was not going to give Sarah more DNF passes.
Damn, this would have been such an easy one. Again, like, I would say this is more readable for me than Negative Space, but like, I didn't have a problem reading it. It was boring and the content kind of annoyed me, but like, I did not have, and I had to read it physically. I couldn't be doing other things while just listening, but I didn't really have a problem with that. I just.
That is how you prefer to read.
Well, not sometimes, like with Leech, I think was one that I wish I had had on audiobook. I think that was one that I was saying I actually would have wanted to listen.
Yeah.
Although I know I would have just blocked it out because that's what I do when I can't even hear lyrics and songs usually. I just block the words out automatically. This one, though, I could easily knock out like 100 pages. It was not a burden. I would do that each day and I got done with it fast and I was like, okay, that was stupid, but it was an easy read.
It was time I could never get back.
You know what? That's how I felt about a lot of books.
I know. All right, Sarah, what do you rate readability?
I certainly... No, it's definitely not that high. Not that high.
Eden!
I'll give it a 6.
6, okay. Kim?
5.
I'll give it a 3. Leiden.
That's not a number.
The laser light. I said a 3.
Leiden.
What?
You gave it a 3, Leiden.
Style.
I think I'm going to get in trouble. Style.
It's terrible. Non-existent.
Yeah, it was just ripping off of all other people's styles. Yeah. No, I agree.
Not really their styles, just their ideas. With no real style.
No. The very beginning very much was ripping off like old school science fiction style of like H.G. Wells.
Again, I almost skipped
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Forgot about it because it was so like, incongruent with the rest of the book.
It is now this icky taste in the back of my throat of, like, my favorite way for books to be started. Because it was executed so poorly. So, yeah. No. Gross. Style was awful. Kim, any thoughts on style, or are you completely checked out?
Nope, I'm listening, and you guys said exactly what I would have thought, so we're just going to leave it at that.
Any other comments, then? Or we want to just rate it?
Rate it.
All right, Kim.
Oh, 5. I don't give a shit.
I missed one of your ratings.
Shit.
Did I get your emotional reaction to it, Kip? Did we discuss emotional reaction?
No, we didn't.
No, we did not.
Unless I was when I was freezing out, but yeah, we did not talk about that. When does that even come up?
After predictability. I just went straight to readability. Okay, just a second. I gotta shift some numbers around.
Style first.
Okay, Kim, you gave style a 5?
Yes.
Okay, let's see here. I'm shifting numbers. I give style a one. Because it hurt others that I love in that style. Sarah.
Five.
Okay, emotional reaction. Do we have any other thoughts on that, or do we just want to rate emotional reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I just, it annoyed me at times and disappointed me, and no actual attachment to any characters or what was happening. But I didn't hate it. I'm going to say, and which is not accurate. That's to Emily, where. But I just want to say I didn't hate it, which is why I'm not going to give it like a really low score. I was just indifferent on the side of annoyed.
Okay, I hated it. Tim,
emotional reaction? I had none. Yeah. I had no emotional reaction.
Were you also indifferent on the side of annoyed, or like
hate.
Worse than that? It's like. Closer to
I was more just
she was more focused on Stardew Valley.
I was absolutely, especially since I'm excited for the update
Oh yeah, doesn't that come out soon?
The 16th.
She also had figured out that trick that day.
Yeah
Oh,
remember
yeah,
the right. Trick so, yeah, like, yeah. That changed my entire game. Anyway, we're not talking about Stardew Valley.
But we could.
We could. It would be much more interesting. It was just like, oh, he's trying to do that. Oh, he's trying to do that. Meaning it was just something that had always been done before with somebody else. And it just, it made my brain completely check out. So I had no emotional reaction. It was just like, oh. That's what we're discussing now. That's what this is. And yeah. Anyway.
So what would you rate emotional reaction, Kim?
I don't know. Is that just neutral? Or is that dislike?
I mean, if you were just completely indifferent, that would be neutral. But okay, like,
so,
if
there
were
four
negative feelings.
4.5.
Sarah.
I'll give it a 3.
It's not the worst thing. Oh no, I gave it a 1 because I did get mine. I gave it a 1. Okay, so that means I gave it the lowest rating at 12 points.
Oh my god, I'm really surprised. What a shocking.
Kim gave
kind
it the second lowest rating at 26 points.
And I passed Leech.
And eking by with a total of 5 extra points, Sarah gave it a 28.5.
So did I beat Leech? Because I already forgot what the total was for Leech.
No. Please, God. Yes, you beat Leech.
That was a close one. I almost forgot that was even on the list.
So it got a whole whopping 66 points, which means on average it got lower than Leech.
Well, yeah, but
negative space was worse.
I mean, to you guys. Wait, how was negative space for me? What did I rate that one?
45.5.
Wow, okay, yeah, because I would have said that this was a more, was it a more enjoyable read? Mm-hmm. I don't know, apparently.
Iron Flame is still for you.
Minutes, really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Okay.
And Iron Flame really gave 11.5.
It deserves probably less than that, but, that makes sense. Piece of garbage.
Okay, so on that note, our next book is going to be The Principle of Moments by Esme. Oh, I'm going to say this wrong. Chikaimi? I will figure out how to say that before the next episode. Pearson. And our intro and outro music is by Grant Newman and is called The Battle of the Nile from Epidemic Sound. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to Book Pile Banter on Spotify, Amazon Music, iTunes, or whichever platform you listen to your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you on any of our social media platforms, such as Instagram or TikTok. You can find us at book_pile_banter. You can support us on bookshop.org. Our link is available via our social media. You can email us at bookpilebanter@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.